You're listening to Soulmates in Business, the podcast that helps purpose-driven couples to grow a successful business and thrive in their relationship. Join the community at soulmatesinbusiness.com. Now, please welcome your hosts, longtime married entrepreneurs, Sarah and Scott Butler.
Welcome to the Soulmates in Business podcast. I'm Sarah and this is Scott.
Hi.
We are really glad to be back to be carrying on with the series that we've got going called The Six C's That Make Power Couples. And we believe that any couple in business can be their own version of a power couple. And today's episode is all around communication. And what does healthy communication look like? And what does unhealthy communication look like? And how that can really slow you down in business and in your relationship. We've learned along the way and we're still on the journey how to be better communicators. And so we really hope that you find some tips in here helpful, which we will share that we've had to implement and just, yeah, have a really good chat about how important communication is.
Yeah, that's right. I agree. Healthy communication is just so important just to keep the business going and keep your relationship going. We have definitely been on a bit of a journey with this, haven't we? Yeah, there's been times when I think we got to almost like a roadblock where it's just like, this isn't working.
Yeah, it was almost like the way that we have been communicating the past 20 years of our life just was not working anymore. We had to create something new again. And I think when you're in business together, there is so much more emotion that goes on in all the things that you try to communicate, you know, because there is a lot more at stake and when you're doing it together. And I mean, I know that we've had some shocking arguments, haven't we? Because we've been quite strong-headed and...
Yeah, I think we were like just stuck in a rut, really. We kind of thought how we knew each other communicated and it got to a point like that it just wasn't working for us anymore. We were almost...
talking another language to
each
other.
Yeah, well, it was like that. It was, this is how I'm going to communicate with you and that's how I'm going to communicate with you. No other way, right? And so, and we both had that attitude and it's like, well, the other person's got to change so that they can, you know, get with the program.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what it came to and we ended up really having to look at that and just go, well, what can I do to get out of this? Mm. What's going to need to change?
Yeah, I think there is something special about being together for so long in that there's a lot of things that we communicate that's unsaid. We can look at each other a certain way or we can touch each other a certain way. And in that nonverbal communication, we have that connection and we really can understand each other's heart really well. But then sometimes when we're trying to verbalize our needs and wants and desires, it doesn't come out as well because, like you said, we had just been operating out of a certain way and then realizing, hold on, if we're arguing more and we're not feeling heard or listened to, everything feels like it's a struggle, then we need to think about how we're going to change. And we did come to that time where we just went, you know what, maybe we just need to see what does reinventing our relationship now look like. We had got quite involved in the business together that we were able to do business stuff really well and we were great business partners, but home and our marriage was falling apart really. So we had to come to the realization that maybe it doesn't have to be business communication style and marriage communication style. You know, you've talked about this before where we just had to reinvent something completely new, which is transferable wherever we're at, like whatever mode we're in, business mode or home mode.
Yeah, like that was it. And I think that's what initially when we had the business, that was like, yeah, we're in business mode. Now we have to communicate like this. And then we're in this mode. We have to communicate like this. But over time, that just didn't work for us because it just didn't work, did it? It wasn't working for our relationship. And so we had to come to this realization that we need to communicate with each other consistently across both business and personal or private, whatever you want to call it. And that's what we found is now working for us. When we talk to one another, it's like we need to identify those moments when it's best to put certain messages across. So no, just knowing the right time to communicate the right things.
I think that's key to begin with, because often when you're juggling the business and kids, you're trying to find space and time to have an uninterrupted conversation in the first place is just super challenging. So maybe we should talk about how we've done that, Scott, because probably like many working couples out there in business, like they're probably hearing us and going, yep, it's so hard sometimes to actually just find that time and space to feel like you can actually communicate something without being interrupted.
Yeah, I think that the first step was for us to realize that we needed to change. And so, and what that meant was we both took responsibility for our own things rather than blaming the other person. So I might say to you, you always like come to me when I'm tired or I'm working. And so what I would do is I go, you need to tell me, you need to come to me when I'm not tired and I'm not working, which, as Sarah would know, is probably not, there's not a very big gap.
Not much of a window of opportunity.
So from my perspective, then I was just like, okay, so I really need to be conscious. If this is her frustration, she can't come to me when I'm tired, I need to make myself available for those times, right?
Yeah.
I need to be available and make sure that I'm available.
But we have our own stories and coping styles that we've learnt over the years. And so, for example, if you were the example of you being tired and me wanting to come and verbally offload something that's happened, whether it's work-related or family-related, it's like, hey, I need to talk about this. I can go back into that old memory bank and go, oh, he never listens and, you know, I don't feel heard and all that resentment builds up. And so I think that consciousness of actually, hold on, we need to change is the only way really that you can get through this and actually getting rid of sort of those old stories and things that we've carried over the years, because when we went through this transition, it didn't happen overnight. It's still a journey. It's taken us a couple of years to really reinvent how we communicate, because
we still go back to our old stories sometimes.
Totally.
About like, oh, you always do this or you always do that, I'm trying to talk to you and you never listen. And we go back to those old stories, which then completely messes things up, really.
We always wonder why our boys are so loud, and we've had to learn to stop being shouters, because, like, I noticed it in the kids and I'm like, my God, they just shout so much. And I was just like, we had to have this family meeting. We all need to commit to no longer shouting. And for a little while we had a shout jar, because so much shouting just creates so much tension. And I know that when we have arguments and it gets to that real shouty, it creates so much anxiety in me. And then you end up just reacting out of anxiety that it's not good for your health. It's not good for us. It's not good for the home. So when we're having these discussions and you would say to me now, you're starting to shout. Like, I need to be told when I'm starting to elevate my voice to the point of shouting in those sort of tense argument times. I have to take a breath and try and talk about this without shouting. I have to be, and it's about us both being super conscious, and it does take a lot of humbling of our pride and our need to be right. That's the only way I think you can work through really learning to be good communicators. It's like we've had to reinvent something together, because it's so hard to try and change if the other person doesn't want to or still operates out of that old way, and it feels like you're trying to go forward but you're always falling backwards. We've had to get some help to do this, right? So we, for the first time, had got a relationship coach, and we found that valuable in learning how to do some great communication styles and learning and just having a greater awareness on how we are. So did you want to share, Scott, what we did?
Yeah, so there was a couple of things that stood out for me with that, with our coach. Was one thing she mentioned was about eye gazing, and it probably sounds really silly, but when you look into the other person's eyes, things melt away. So if there's a tense moment, or there's even if you're not focused on the conversation that you're having, you start to eye gaze and you're focusing on that person, then it brings you together, and then you're ready to connect with that person and communicate effectively. And the other thing was, which is like often I'm not very good at, is holding space for the other person, letting them be able to communicate in their way, in their time. And for me, like, well, I'm talking about when I say them, I'm talking about me and Sarah. So if Sarah might be talking or she might have an issue, and I'll go into like fix it mode and go, okay, yeah, like let's sort this out this way. But she might not want that. So for me to hold the space, get her to say what she wants to say, and then ask her what she would like me to do, how she would like me to be, that gives her the opportunity to either tell me that she needs me to fix it, or just tells me that she needs me to just listen.
Or just give me a hug and tell me everything's going
to
be all right.
So this is, and again, it's going back to those kind of the old ways, was like, well, she's telling me this, so if she's telling me this, that means she needs me to fix it. But that's not always the case.
I can recall a few years back when we went through a really difficult time and would pass each other in the house and not even look at each other. And I really found that eye gazing really an emotional, powerful experiment that our relationship coach made us do. She actually just made us sit opposite each other and stare at each other in the eyes for 10 minutes or whatever. And we were both crying by the end of it, because it just melted all of the crap away, and it made me look deep into your heart and your soul and reminded me of who you are as a man and my husband. Just thought, you know, I love you. And that was what eye gazing is really good. And even now when we've been busy and it can be running in and out of the house with taking kids somewhere or going to work, if sometimes you're working here at home and I'll just come over and I'll just say, eye gaze, and we'll just stop and stare at each other in the eyes for 10 seconds or whatever. And it just, all it is just that connection.
It brings the connection. That's what it does.
Yeah, it's a really powerful connection. Like what you were saying about holding space too is really important, because I think I've had to do my thing too, but it's learning to own your own stories. I want to give our listeners some specific examples which might help. For example, I found out 6 years ago that I had thyroid autoimmune, and I was really unwell and getting a lot of anxiety, and I had to talk through so much, and I needed Scott to sort of be there. But Scott really struggled to talk to me and give me space when I was in that state, because, you know, you didn't know how to handle me. And so for you, it was either go and fix it mode or you would withdraw. And both of those things weren't meeting the need that I wanted at the time. Like with you, like if Scott comes to me about something and it's triggered something in me, I've got to learn to give you space just to talk about it. So if Scott starts to get stressed about things like the business or the money or whatever, like I start to get stressed because I'm like, oh, hold on a sec. If he's getting stressed, then, you know, that's not a good thing. And then I want to fix it for you as well. But we had a situation recently where you'd called me up from work and you just needed me to listen. And so I didn't tell you how it should be, or I didn't have a go or whatever. I just listened and I went, yep, I understand and I get it. And I could, and I felt that compassion to be able to connect with you. And then you said to me at the end, thank you for just allowing me just to talk about that. I feel better. And that's all you needed. Because often if I get stressed at you, well, that just compounds things and makes it worse.
Yeah, it doesn't help. But on the other hand, on the not so stressy conversations as well, like there's times when I could be, if I'm working from home and then looking at my computer, it's never a good idea for Sarah to come in and start telling me stuff. And after about a minute when she's talking to me, I'm often going, wait a minute, I'm not actually listening to this. So I kindly tell her that. And then I finish what I'm doing and often I'll just get up away from my computer and then come over and find her and then we can talk. And there's certain times of the day which I know is good, like when Sarah's preparing the evening meal, I might come over and just start peeling some spuds and then we can have a chat then about what we need to talk about. When we're driving in the car, that's always a good time to talk. And even setting aside time like we do, we have our, and we've talked about it in other podcasts, we have our weekly coffee meeting where we talk business, and then we have our date nights as well, where that's another time to talk about different things where we know that we're just solely focused on one another and there's no disruptions.
And actually having those things booked in is, in my mind, it helps me go, okay, I don't need to I don't need to offload this right now because it's not great timing, but I know that we've booked to go to date night this weekend. So I'm just going to flag that as to bring it up when we're out. And I think that really helps ease the tension of trying to get your stuff out and get your words out. What we learned as well from the relationship coach was she was great in giving us tips on asking, is it okay if I talk to you about getting permission? So is it okay if I talk to you about this right now? And then you wait for the person to say either yes or no. And if it's no, then it's fine. You just respect that and then say, okay, well, let's organize another time. Come back to me when it is a good time. And also always asking questions like, so for example, if I just want to download something to Scott, because I do like to verbally offload, you know, sometimes it's just like, what did you need from me right now? Did you just want me to listen? Do you want me to give you my opinion? Do you want me to help solve a problem? Or do you just want to cuddle? Like sometimes it's just offering up those things. And sometimes it's just like, do you know what? I just want you to listen. I don't want your opinion. Please just let me.
That's really hard for me though. And that's kind of the journey we're on at the moment, is that I'm always ready to give my opinion, as are you as well. But sometimes that's just not called for and doesn't help the situation. So
I have to say one thing that has reduced, which has been so nice, is where there's better listening going on and there's less of that stuff where I come back and you go, I told you about that yesterday, or we talked about this last week. And you're like, I don't know. I don't remember having that chat. And oh, those things frustrate the heck out of me, because it's like, we did talk about this. And so there's less of that coming back and saying, I've told you about this. And all of that just creates so much friction, especially when you're running a business and you're juggling kids and your home life and everything. Like sometimes it's just the day-to-day things in the diary that we all just need to be aware of and communicated about, so there's no surprises. So some practical tip we can talk about in learning how to communicate better. Let's share some of those things, Scott. So the eye gazing is a good one.
Yeah, so eye gazing's good. And then
holding hands. Sometimes it's just that holding hands and while you're talking. Yeah,
that can work, like anything that brings that connection together before you're kind of talking about going into detail, talking about anything, is like, it reminds you that I've got to connect with this person now. So looking them in the eyes, holding their hands definitely works, definitely brings you into that moment.
And often we say, now I'm feeling this and I know this is me and my stuff, but this is how I feel, or this is how you made me feel when you did this. And often we need to have these conversations later. Sometimes when the kids are not around, it might be, hey, when you just did that in front of the kids, that made me feel like this. And we're learning just really be present and acknowledge those things. I think it's so easy to get on the defense all the time when someone has said, oh, well, you made me feel like this or whatever. We need to really humble ourselves in a way and acknowledge, okay, I'm sorry that made you feel that way.
Yeah, people just always go to blame the other person rather than take responsibility. And I think that it's always natural for us to do that, isn't it? It's just like, you did this and you did that, rather than I feel this and I'm feeling that.
Like the business communication side of things, we don't always just hold that for business meeting. It's often our kids hear us talk about business. Like Scott said, he might come into the kitchen and help with dinner, and it's often an opportunity for us to talk about something. And we don't really keep it separate, and or that concerned about keeping it separate as much anymore, because I think we've found a good balance in that we've got other opportunities to talk about business in the week without kids around. But if the opportunity is there and the timing is right and it's in the kitchen and it's the kids are around, we'll talk about business. And we don't mind, actually, because the kids sometimes get involved with our conversations around business and they want to hear what we're doing, and they ask us lots of questions. So you can't, like we've talked about before, it's all encompassing now. We've found a new normal of communication that works, whether we're talking about business or whether we're together at home. But obviously in business, like, we're not calling each other babe and darling and sweetheart in front of all of our staff necessarily.
But it doesn't matter if we do. I think we were very conscious about that But, yeah, you know, we're together. So I don't think we should be something we should be concerned about.
No, it is trying to keep that sort of professionalism a little bit, but we can be real about it. And, yeah, talked about eye gazing and holding hands. Sometimes when you're having a chat is really good. Going for walks is awesome because you're not always looking at each other, but you can at least hold hands and have a chat. So I think the main thing, though, with all of those practical tips, it really is having a greater awareness in you about what you're avoiding, what's stopping you from wanting to really articulate your needs and wants. Is it out of fear of change? Is it fear that the other person's not going to want to do it? So it is quite a confronting thing to do. Like what we've had to do is just go, well, we need to reinvent our relationship because we've been together for 20 years. If we keep communicating and doing life the way that we're doing, it's not going to sustain us for when we're older and in a different stage and phase in life. And obviously we're in a different stage and phase now because our kids are older as well. So life changes and business needs changes and your marriage need changes. And so you have to be able to have really in-depth conversations about what are your needs, what are your desires, what works for you now, what doesn't work for you anymore, what do you want to stop, what do you want to reinvent. And we're still on this journey. We still talk about this. We still fall back into our old ways. But we're much more conscious now of when we do that and we can pick each other up and we actually say, hold on a sec, what you're doing right now is old you and that's old. We don't do that anymore. And we remind each other of that. But rather than actually saying, well, F off or whatever it is in a rage, we go, okay, yes, that's right, because we've committed to do this together. So if you're in a situation at the moment where maybe you're feeling that you're not supported in your relationship, you're not feeling heard, there's a bit more of a shutting down in how you're communicating, or you're feeling like you're misunderstood. Like I reckon for a long time I used to whinge to Scott and say, it feels like I'm talking another language to you and it doesn't matter what I say, it's landing on your ears completely wrong. And I feel really misunderstood. And when you feel not understood in a relationship, it's a pretty lonely place. So, Scott, what else did you want to add to that?
Yeah, so it's like having that fresh reset of this isn't working, so what is going to work? And a good place to start there would be to go, what is the other person saying that is frustrating them in our communication? And if it's like, for Sarah saying like she wasn't heard, she doesn't feel heard, it's like, okay, I'm going to take that on and go, okay, how can I make it so that Sarah now feels heard? What do I need to do? What are the things I need to do to change this? Rather than looking at the other person and going, what do they need to do to change it? Own your shit and take that on and go, things have got to change and that change starts with me. And if you both do that,
if you both do it, then that's how you become.
You both need to do that for it to work.
If you both do it, that is how you become a power couple.
Yeah.
It is. That's how you overcome all the challenges and it just enriches your relationship so much more. And I felt that we are just so much more connected in and in tune with each other and how we communicate. And that's just been so enriching to our relationship. And it's actually helped grow our business because we've been able to really communicate just our dream about the business and the growth and we've had some challenges that have come our way this year already, and just been able to communicate through those together and move through them. It means that we feel that we can take on anything, and we believe that's why communication is so important in being a power couple.
So thank you for listening.
We are loving doing this series and we hope you're enjoying it. The next C is compromise. We think compromise is really important as well when it comes to being your own version of a power couple. So stay tuned and we'll look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Before we go, we'd love you to check out our website, soulmatesinbusiness.com, and join our mailing list for updates. Also, we are on Facebook and Instagram at Soulmates in Business. Email us if you've got any feedback for us. Hello@soulmatesinbusiness.com. Bye for now.